That was such a kind introduction. Do we all have tissues at the table? Prepared with mine? Because the Lord so often brings tears of joy. And it begins. Okay. Oh, so we've all got full tummies. We might be getting a little bit sleepy. So I'm going to start this session with a fun little game. I'm going to sing a praise song. I'm going to sing part of one, and I want you to fill in the blanks. So when I point to you, I want you to finish the song that I've started. Father Abraham had many sons.
Many sons had Father Abraham.
Oh, I like this. Okay. This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Okay. Ooh, don't get scared. Okay. Woo. Extra points for hand motions on this one. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Four words for you. I am a C.
I am a C-H.
I am a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-A-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-T-E-R-N-L-Y. Woo! Okay, this one. Don't leave me hanging on this one. Ready? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Yes! See, that's what I envisioned happening. But I did not want crickets. Okay, thank you for playing along. This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord has made.
Yes,
let us rejoice and be glad in it. So my session is, or this last one is, I'm out of breath. Pursuing the heart of God with heart of rejoicing. So you'll notice in the notes in our session, there's not a whole lot of writing space because I personally am not a note taker, but I am a prayer journaler. So you'll see scripture, and then I've included a prayer under the verses to kind of start a heart of prayer. So if you want to, I encourage you to try and do some prayer journaling. But there are also, in the pages after my section, blank note space. So if you do need to take notes, if you are a note taker, I know there are some of you out there, feel free to use all the space. Okay, with a heart of reverence, will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? I'll be reading Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him. All the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. So I want us to look through David's psalm. We'll start by learning to praise God by David's example. So this psalm is an acrostic poem. The verses begin with each successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a way to help make memorization of the psalm easier. Throughout the psalms, we're given examples of how to bring our emotions to the Lord, and this chapter is no different. In the first three verses, we can learn from David's example of a heart fully given to praise. Bless your name forever and ever. That is the first and last verse of this chapter. Bless your name forever and ever. David showed a personal connection by directly addressing you, my God and my King. And Sarah shared last night about how our God is personal and deserves, he's reverent and almighty and powerful. And it's just incredible to me that we are allowed access to the God and creator of the universe. David honored God with a humble heart of submission and reverence. My God, my King. He expressed a heart of eternal praise to God forever and ever. So you may have thought that our songs were just a fun warm-up to get our blood pumping again, but it's an example of David's point in verses 4 through 7, passing the praise of God from one generation to another. So a lot of us are familiar with the songs because we learned them in Sunday school, or my mom taught them to you. David desired that God's people would continue teaching each other to praise God, which was the Jewish culture. Not only does David model a way to sing prayers of Scripture, but Jesus gives us a direct example of using David's psalms to cry out in prayer to the Father. Matthew 27:46, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, experiencing incredible emotion. Matthew 27:46 says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Which is David's psalm in Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me?" David's own words that Jesus uses on the cross. Jesus was familiar with David's psalm because of his Jewish heritage. He not only taught us how to pray the Lord's Prayer, like what Sarah talked about last night, but Jesus modeled for us how to pray the Psalms. And what I imagine was the most raw and emotional moment of suffering during his earthly ministry. It was Scripture on his tongue that he prayed in his final moments. As we consider what a heart of rejoicing looks like, the image of joyful, energized expression of gratitude and praise comes to mind. Joyful, excited, what we started off the session with. This specific psalm was written to be sung in a high register with a lot of energy, excited, expressive. I think this kind of rejoicing might be a natural response for Christians in the good seasons of life. But if you look at verse 2, it says, "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." Every day, not just the good ones. What does that everyday praise look like when we're in seasons of suffering, disappointment, unfulfilled dreams? I'd like to give you a few of those seasons in my own life that required more of an obedient response as opposed to an instinctive one. So I was married Before my husband now is Adam, before that I was married for over 5 years. And towards the end, I was begging him, please let's go to counseling with our pastor. And he just wasn't up for it. And then finally said, okay, yeah, let's do it. So the night that I meet at our pastor's house, and I meet Chris Blue is our pastor's wife. Chris, my ex, he's another Chris, was out with John, the pastor. And so the men were meeting us at the house, and they were an hour or even two. I think it was a really long time. They were late. And then when they both finally got there, John Blue had this look on his face, like, what is happening? And he said, well, this night is turning into something else. And my husband went on to say, I'm done with our marriage. I want a divorce. There's already someone that I've been seeing, and I'm going to be moving forward with her, basically, is what he said. So that's a glimpse of one of the dark seasons. That's what started my years as a single mom. So my first child, one of the first like realizations when my husband left was, okay, now I have to go back to work full time and miss my child's upbringing. Like I won't get to see him. He was 7 months old at the time. So that's what happened. I had a career as an accountant, and I was a 40-hour a week. I worked as a controller at just a small local business. And I was there for many years during my single years. So there were plenty of beach days that I had to miss, and trips to the library. And I knew that I was providing for my family of the two of us. And I was almost going to say, Mom, don't cry. But no, I encourage you, ladies, please cry. God, don't deny God the glory of his creation. He made our tear ducts to function in this way. Cry it out. But my mom was the one who took care of my son so that I could work full time. Now, fast forward. By this time, now I'm married to Adam. This year, we'll be married for 12 years. We got married when Joey was 5 years old. At this time, this story that I'm telling you, Joy was now 9. Our second son, Zeke, was 2. He had just turned 2. MacGyver, our third, was 9 months old. And I had just found out I was pregnant with number 4, Curtis. And I remember thinking, oh, stress, 4 kids, that's going to be stressful. And then a week later, my 2-year-old was diagnosed with leukemia. And I thought, oh, Lord, 4 healthy kids would have been fine. I think this is going to be stressful. And one of my go-to songs was, this is the day that the Lord has made. How am I supposed to rejoice and be glad in it? But I would keep singing that song because it's scripture and it's truth. We're in this life throughout all the different seasons of ours. We are in this life together with each other. And that allows us to help each other rejoice in the new day and hold each other up. It says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So on those days, months following his diagnosis, I would just text Amy and just say, please just give me more verses. I just need more scripture, because if I can read scripture, I can pray, because I don't have any energy to like dig into my scripture memory verse database. What will be applicable in this season? It was, give me something else. Anymore. Just give me verses. If I could read it, I could pray. Every day, I will bless you forever and ever, not just when I feel like it. During these seasons of suffering, God would so graciously bring these childhood songs to mind. And even to this day, one of my favorites that I sing in any context, I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. It is such a good, that's what David was talking about from generation to generation. To this day, work, family, I'm constantly singing that song from my childhood. Ma, I think that my brother and I sang that as a duet. I just watched this Salty video and I'm like, oh, Justin and I sang it when we were like little. Yes. Oh. Sometimes it feels impossible to praise God or rejoice in a new day. And that's okay. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Even when we're angry, we might even be angry at him. He's not. He's slow to anger. Verses 10 through 13 say that all creation declares God's praise. Even nature praises God. Luke 19:37 says, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Psalm 98:8 says, let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. God won't ever stop receiving the praise because he is the creator of everything that was created to praise. If I don't praise him, even when it's only a spiritual act of discipline, I'm the one who misses out. I want us to think about what we've heard this weekend about David's story, his history, his testimony, the trials that he's gone through or that he had gone through in his life. Escaping with his life for a decade, hiding in the caves, adultery, murder, pleading for his newborn's life, and God's answer being no. That's a hard one. 2 Samuel 12:19 says, David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. His daughter was raped by one of his sons, and that son was then killed by another one of David's sons. Talk about sibling rivalry. And that son who opposed King David was then killed. So you can imagine the suffering, the many seasons of suffering that David went through. So the blue letter Bible commentary says about Psalm 145, this incomparable song of praise, which is the last of the acrostic alphabet or alphabetical psalms, is supposed to have been composed by David towards the close of his life. So this psalm is titled A Praise of David. This is the only one titled A Praise of David, and it is a high point of praise. Charles Spurgeon says, it's David's very own, David's favorite, his crown jewel of praise. He would have experienced, towards the close of his life, he would have experienced all of those tragedies that we mentioned before, his life story. While he was singing this favorite song of praise, all of his failures and sins, and all of his loss, deaths of his children, death of his best friend, Jonathan. And yet he sings his most powerful, favorite praise song with all glory to God. It's just another example from the Psalms of how to express our humanness to the Lord. The culmination of our life's victories, joys, failures, and losses, and everything in between is cause for praising the Creator of the universe. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. God is this great, magnificent God, and at the same time, he intimately cares for every single aspect of our individual lives. He delights in our company. He's pleased by us. Even in our weakness, especially in our weakness, he cares. Psalm 56:8, in the message it says, "You've kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. Each tear entered in your ledger, each ache written in your book." The New Living Translation says, "You have collected all my tears in your bottle." In our weakness, there is more evidence of God's strength and power to be on display for everyone who is exposed to our lives. This weekend's theme has been pursuing the heart of God through prayer. Hearts of repentance, hearts of replenishment, hearts of rejoicing, and I have two more R's for you. Hearts of restoration and redemption. Verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works." When this world makes it feel like life is hopeless, God is still faithful. When the enemy attempts to deceive us into believing there's no reason to keep on going, what's the point? God is still faithful. He is still God. Lamentations 3:22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The book of Psalms ends in 5 psalms of prayer, followed by 6 psalms of praise, starting with Psalm 145, which is what we're studying. Each of the last 5 chapters following our passage begin with, "Praise the Lord." According to Matthew Henry, who was a commentator, preacher, scholar from the late 1600s, he was famous for his commentary on the entire Bible. He said, "Our thanksgivings for mercy, when we have received it, should even exceed our supplications for it when we are in pursuit of it. As the end of one mercy is the beginning of another, so should the end of one thanksgiving be. While I have breath to draw, my mouth shall still speak God's praises." I want to talk about the kindness of God to those in need in verses 14 through 16. David knew firsthand the love and compassion God had on those who struggle and suffer. So David finishes the psalm by talking about the love and the righteousness of the Lord. He reiterates once again how important it is to praise God for all that he is and all that he has done, that God is righteous and gracious, which is why we should praise God. God is near to all who call upon his name. How he will give them their desires. He will hear their cries and he will save them. I am confident that God heard my cries 16, almost 17 years ago. God was so near to me in my loneliness of single motherhood. God saved me. So 3.5 weeks after my husband said, "I'm done," it was New Year's Eve, 2006, almost 2007. I was at the Levy's New Year's Eve party. It's an annual tradition. And Joey was at Grandma's house, asleep, sound asleep, just right across the street. I was with family, my loved ones, my friends. I remember sitting at their dining room table feeling more depressed than I'd ever felt in my life. With all this love just swarming around me, I felt none of it. Until one moment, when out of nowhere, I started feeling flooded by the joy of the Lord that was only possible through the Spirit. Like, I just like felt it from my toes to the top of my head. I couldn't not laugh. Like, Lord, you are incredible. This could only be you. Because of the circumstances that I'm in, I know it's you. And in that moment, I said, Lord, use my life. Turn what the enemy meant for harm into good for your kingdom. Have your way with me. Don't let my sorrow be wasted. And God has used my personal anguish to help friends and women that I've met who have gone through the same or similar circumstances. God has allowed me and has allowed my grief to minister to their hearts. Who am I, Lord, that you could use me? Those years of my single parenting, when my son was being well taken care of, I had years of accounting in the office. My parents got to take them to the beach days. Okay, my mom took them to beach days. My dad didn't. My mom took them to the library. And we have friends, and our kids have grown up, and they're still friends. You know, Joey will still text Ty, and they live in Oregon now. And such good friendships. During one of the hardest seasons of my life, my son was thriving and getting poured into. And I was able to work a job that was consistent experience in the accounting field. So that now, 16 years later, when for the last 9 months my husband has been unemployed, I was able to go into full-time work to be able to provide for my family again. And it's given my husband, we've kind of shift roles. I'm, you know, working full time and he's taking care of the kids and running the school and cooking. And let me tell you, he is so much better at that stuff than I am. You do not want me in the kitchen. But it's been so cool to see how God has redeemed such a hard season and put purpose and usefulness to that experience. And now my husband has had the time to do his writing, to bless others through his experiences and his writing, because I'm able to do my accounting, and I love accounting. And when he said, you know, I hate to have to do this, and I'm like, no, you got the kitchen? I'm good. I can sit at the computer and do accounting all day. It's fine. And then I want to fast forward to Zeke's diagnosis. So when he was diagnosed, he had 3.5 years of chemo, and now we're approaching his 5th anniversary of being done with that chemo, and he's thriving. God allowed such intense grief in that season, followed by constant effort to not give in to fear, so that we would be able to understand a unique way when others needed to be heard and understood in the context of that kind of grief and tragedy. God has allowed our story through Zeke's illness and recovery to encourage others going through it. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, you will keep, this is one of those verses that Amy sent me. I said, just keep them coming. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. We keep our minds steadfast by reading, praying, and even singing scripture, practicing biblical truths daily, keeping our focus on the eternal perspective and the hope of glory to come. Verse 21 says, praise God for all that he is and all that he has done. 2 months, 2.5 months into Zeke's diagnosis, the Lord said, okay, it's time for you and Adam to start writing the book of hope, to share my faithfulness and my constant, steadfast love. Start writing it. I kind of got a lot on my plate. Are you sure you have the timing right? And he said, I'm not asking you to write the whole book right now. I'm putting this paragraph on your heart. Write it down. I'm putting this chapter on your heart. Write it down. So that book was kind of written just sporadically when the Spirit would press it on my heart. And it's called Hidden Hope, Finding Hope Through Trials and Loss. And it had occurred to me recently that it was during Zeke's 3.5 years of chemo and that suffering season that the book was produced, and it was his end of chemo party that we were able to release the book to the public, which was like an obedience project in itself, because it was like, okay, sure, I'm writing down the stuff, Lord, to keep track of it. And now he said, share it. Strangers can read personal stories of how God is so gracious and faithful and loves redemption, loves restoration. He allowed, once again, he allowed our season of weakness in order that his strength and faithfulness would be on display. All glory to God. Life still goes on. We may feel days of joyful praise. We may feel the days of suffering, struggling praise, a response in obedience to praise. Life still goes on. God has shown me his faithfulness through all of my seasons, and that gives me hope to rely on, hope to hang on to during the next trial, because I can be sure there will be a next trial. And God will still be the same, good, sovereign, worthy of praise. Another quote from Matthew Henry, God's people, towards the end of their life, should abound much in praise, because at the end of their life, they hope to remove to the world of everlasting praise. And the nearer they come to heaven, the more they should accustom themselves to the work of heaven. I want to end our time together in prayer. If you know this prayer, please join me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Before we go into our last session of worship, we're going to read together parts of this Psalm 145. And as we read, I want you to speak with passion and energy, because God is so good and deserves our passion. Every day, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.